It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Thank you so much for taking some time and joining us this week. We got a lot of geek news to get to, and we're going to get to that a little later. Also, my thoughts on the long-awaited sequel coming to America. Weird that the sequel has kind of the same title, except they switched out a word for a number. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. First, I wanted to talk, I got like a little bit of a surprise this week. So if you remember back a few, many episodes ago, actually I was talking about the Star Wars half marathon that I was going to run at Disney, and then Disney made it a virtual event and blah, blah, blah. So needless to say, my excitement, it definitely went down. You know, I was looking forward to getting to Disney and doing a run there again and all that, because the one I did over a year ago now in January of 2020 was so much fun. Like, they really know how to put an event together, obviously, right? So I was really looking forward to doing it under a Star Wars banner. And the fact that it became virtual, I was like, nah, all right. And I had signed up for what they call the Kessel Run Challenge, which basically means you run a virtual half marathon and a full half marathon at the event. So I was like, okay, cool. And I've got lots of time to do this. And I figured that the virtual half marathon part of it would just be part of my training for the half marathon, right? Run an easy half marathon, not pushing too hard. That's the virtual one, part of the training. And then when I'm there at Walt Disney World, push, go for a good time at the actual live half marathon event. It all made sense in my head. And it was a way to get three medals as opposed to like one. And we run for the medals. I've said that many, many times. If there were no medals, I would not run. I'd be like Seinfeld. I choose not to run. So anyway, I'm just sitting there the other day and I'm going, man, I should really check and see when I have to have the virtual half marathon time in. In my head, it was kind of way loosey-goosey for some reason. And so I log in to the Run Disney website and I'm looking, and I have to have it in by the end of the month. Now, the problem with that is I kind of slacked on my training. Like, I really slacked on my training because I lost a lot of motivation for the run, the fact that I wasn't going to Florida. And to be totally honest, I've lacked a lot of motivation recently for damn near everything. I think I've hit the point for me. I know some people have hit this point a while ago, but I hit the point for me where I'm just worn out of the whole, you know, lockdown world, restriction world. It's just weighing on me. And the fact that I was really looking forward to this event and that it's not happening, it didn't keep it as front of mind as maybe it should have. So I basically have roughly 20 days to run a half. And again, this is going to be a super easy half, but I have to do it for the virtual. And then on April 18th, I have to run the other part of the Kessel Run Challenge, the now virtual that was supposed to be real half marathon. And because I lost some motivation, I have slacked on training. So this is going to be fun, in the weirdest way of saying fun. I'm scared, but at the same time, kind of looking forward to this. Kind of looking forward to this. So I think this week I'm just going to continue some running. And then my goal right now when I look at it is I'd like to run the soft virtual in a couple of weeks, like 27th, 28th of this month, and then give myself just a little bit of a space in there to continue running before I run the other virtual half on April 18th. Not something you want to just have sneak up on you, you know, like, oh shit, really needed to stay motivated for this. So we'll see. And I know there are some people that listen to the podcast that are Run Disney kind of aficionados, and they know that you don't really have to do them, you know, you don't have to really do them at all, to be totally honest. Disney will just send you the medals, but I don't want to get medals for something that I didn't do. And they set out the time frame, and I agreed to the time frame. So I'm a man of my word. I'm going to get it done on the dates that it needs to be done by. It's just frightening when I think about it. Moving on to a movie that some are saying had the best streaming numbers of any film so far that's had its major release on a streaming platform, and that's Eddie Murphy's sequel to his classic movie, Coming to America, also called Coming to America. It debuted on Amazon Prime. I watched it, and first off, I will say, like, is it as good as the original Coming to America? No, it's not. It's also a very different movie. Like, one of my fears of watching it, knowing that they were bringing back a lot of the same characters, was that it was going to almost fall down the Austin Powers trap of the same characters with the same jokes, you know, because it's kind of what happened to Austin Powers. And now, having said that, I would like to see another Austin Powers movie. But Coming to America, same characters, kind of some of the same familiar beats, like especially the guys in the barbershop and all that kind of stuff. But I enjoyed the hell out of the movie. I really did. I enjoyed visiting with these characters again. I enjoyed seeing them again. There was a lot of music and a lot of dancing, which, if they had trimmed that down, the movie might have felt a little tighter, I guess, because it does feel long at parts. It's almost 2 hours for a comedy. But overall, like, Murphy was funny. I definitely laughed out loud a few times. Tracy Morgan's great in it. Arsenio's fantastic. There's a lot of heart in the movie. That's the one thing I will say, even more so than the first film. The first film had some heart, but it was really funny and definitely had some more kind of crude humor. The first one was rated R. This one, not an R-rated film. And this one definitely has some heart and some really heartfelt moments that are done somewhat in joking ways, but still done effectively. A little bit of a spoiler here, but, the old king, played by James Earl Jones, he passes away early on in the film. And it's a sad moment in the movie. Like, even though they do it kind of jokingly, it's still poignant. I still felt it. And Eddie Murphy, his kind of just mannerisms in that moment were so well done. And I think that gets overlooked when people are talking about Coming to America. Wesley Snipes was great in it. His character is a general that wants to take over the country. And I actually would have liked more Wesley Snipes. He was hamming it up. Like, he was just chewing scenery. Wesley was having fun with this role. I would have liked to have seen more of his character. I felt we kind of got shortchanged with him in the film. But overall, it was enjoyable. The people that are shitting on it, I don't know what they were looking for out of it. Like, I don't know. Were you looking for, like, an R-rated, hard, you know, dirty, filthy comedy? You know, yeah, it's a rom-com at the end of the day. And so was the first one. The first one was a rom-com surrounded by a bunch of kind of silliness and nonsense. And they still have some of that silliness and nonsense in this one. But they said, no, we're going to put the romance and the character stories up first. And, you know, so it does have a different feel than Coming to America, the original. But I enjoyed the hell out of it. I really did. I see the ads come on, still promoting it. And when I see the ads, I'm like, I have fond memories of watching Coming to America, which is all that you want, I think, out of a comedy. So I say well done by Eddie Murphy. I want Eddie to be back permanently. Like, these little drips and drabs we've been getting of Eddie over the last couple of years are great, but I want more Eddie. I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan, so I want more Eddie Murphy. Hopefully this is the start of more Eddie Murphy. I know there's a Beverly Hills Cop thing, I believe, in the works at Netflix. And Eddie even said he has an idea for Coming to America 3, which would be awesome. However, we're going to have to wait a while, because he says it doesn't happen for 16 years. Because the idea he has is when his character's 75 years old. And he's like, well, I don't want to have makeup and be 75. I really want to be 75. Okay. I mean, I say, just if you have a good idea, just write it now. Makeup and computers can do amazing things. So please make the film now. That would be fantastic. But if you haven't watched Coming to America and you have Amazon Prime, it's definitely worth a Friday night. Just grab some popcorn, sit back, and enjoy a film. It's really what it's all about. on to the geek news of the week. We got a lot of it this week, and we're going to start in the world of Star Trek. We don't do a lot of Star Trek. There hasn't been a lot of Star Trek news, but we actually have some interesting Trek news this week. First off, Paramount Pictures has a couple of proposals in front of them for a new Star Trek movie. Now, first off, they hired the writer of Star Trek Discovery, Kalinda Vasquez, to pen a new movie, and it also has a proposal in front of them by Nicholas Meyer, who was the director of perhaps the best Star Trek film, The Wrath of Khan. He's also trying to make his way back into the Trek universe. He pitched a television series a while ago focusing on Khan and his days stranded on SETI Alpha 5. But he and Stephen Charles Jaffe, who worked on The Undiscovered Country, they have created a new pitch document for a Trek movie that they have given to J.J. Abrams and Emma Watts and Alex Kurtzman, all these higher-ups at Paramount. And they said it's not a full script, but it's a pretty detailed pitch on what they want to do. So he didn't really give any details. And he said it's also not a reworking of Khan, for those who think, oh, you're just trying to go back to the Khan well. But no. It's something entirely new. He wouldn't give many other details other than to say it would also fill in some of the holes in the Trek series. So who knows if we'll ever get this Trek film made, but kind of cool that there's a couple of pitches out there for Star Trek's return to the big screen. And if you're a huge Star Trek fan, obviously you love William Shatner. Who amongst us does not love William Shatner? Would you like to spend William Shatner's 90th birthday with him? You can. And he's returning to the bridge of the USS Enterprise to celebrate it. On July 23rd, which is actually after William Shatner's birthday, because his birthday is this month, you're going to be able to spend time with William Shatner at the recreation of the original bridge from the Starship Enterprise that they have in New York. So it's a two-day thing. He's going to be visiting the set recreation, and all the events will still fall under COVID restrictions, masks, smaller groups, distancing, and whatnot. But if you want to take part in it, you're going to be able to there's a dinner celebration, take a set tour with William Shatner, a bridge chat, a photo, and an autograph. And to be part of that whole package, $1,500. I don't know if William Shatner needs money. The standard tour of this facility without William Shatner is $80, which is still, in my mind, kind of steep. But, $1,500 just because William Shatner's there? Okay, listen, if you got that kind of coin, go for it. Moving on to DC, I wanted to touch on Superman and Lois. Last week's episode, not the latest one, but the week before, a little bit of a spoiler. It ends with a flashback to the Luther that we've met so far, his world, where there's an evil Superman destroying it. And I'm enjoying Superman and Lois. We're only a couple episodes in. I am enjoying it, but I will say I really am getting tired of the evil Superman idea. You know, it's something that's obviously been part of the comic book lore for years, but it just seems like every live action version of Superman right now wants to make him evil. You know, we're going to talk about the Snyder Cut a bit in a little bit here, because there's some Snyder Cut news. And before people start coming at me from the Snyder Cut going, he's not, Superman's not evil in Zack Snyder's movies, he's learning how to be Superman, I totally agree with you, and I am on board for that arc. However, you know, Zack has said that if he got to make a sequel to the Justice League, it would be set in the Nightmare World with evil Superman. And I just, in my head right now, I don't want evil Superman. In my head right now, I want the big blue Boy Scout. I think we've had a year of absolute shit, you know, and I think we need to have Superman be our beacon of hope at this point. So I'm kind of not wanting evil Superman right now. Just not where my mindset is. In the Superman and Lois show, when they pitched up to Superman and he was doing evil things, in my mind, it was a missed opportunity to do Red Sun Superman. Like, because he was taking down a military. If he had had the hammer and sickle in the logo as opposed to the S, that would have been kind of cool, and I could have got into that maybe a little bit more because there's more of a story there than just power-hungry, evil Superman, you know? And they tried to do a hope story with Wonder Woman 84, and I enjoyed that movie, and I teared up at parts, but Wonder Woman's not really the hope character. You know, that's kind of Superman. So it was almost like they tried to do a Superman movie in a Wonder Woman movie. I just want to see hopeful Superman. I just think that's kind of what the world needs right now. So hopefully, we will get more hopeful Superman coming forward. Switching to another DC TV show, Batwoman. Reviews have been pretty good so far. With the new season, with the new Batwoman. And Ruby Rose was doing some press recently, and they asked her if she would be open to returning as Kate Kane, potentially as Batwoman. And she said she was. She said that she's actually had discussions about it, but at the same time, she doesn't want to crush what they're doing right now. She says she thinks what's happening on the show right now is fantastic, and the new characters are kind of building their own footwork, so for her to show up right now might kind of disrupt that, but she said if it could be done, she would very much like to return to the role, which makes me think she's kind of regretting leaving it in the first place, because it hasn't been that long, and she's already going, yeah, I'd love to come back. So I would imagine that's something that might happen in season three. I could definitely see it happening. Switching over to Zack Snyder's Justice League, we got character teasers for each of the main players with just words in the background from different characters. They were really well put together. Every single one of them was fantastic. I think my favorite one was the villain, though. That it was like half Steppenwolf, half Darkseid. And just to hear Darkseid, you know, saying that the world will be his and you know, all creation will be his. It's just very cool. You know, Darkseid, one of the best villains in the DC universe, and he looks good, he sounds good, you know, very excited to see him in all his glory on March 18th when the Zack Snyder's Justice League releases. That is, unless you caught some of it when it was leaked, which did happen. Apparently on HBO Max, this only happened for a few minutes, but people that started the Tom and Jerry movie, apparently they got Zack Snyder's Justice League. It was about an hour and a half to 2 hours of it that got leaked out there. So there are some images out there with some spoilers. I've stayed the hell away from those. I don't want the show ruined for me, the movie ruined for me. So I've tried to stay away from those, but it does make me laugh. You know, you're sitting down going, I'm going to watch some Tom and Jerry. And then suddenly it's Zack Snyder's Justice League. Very different tones. Very, very different tones. But here's the thing. The Zack Snyder fandom out there, who have done an amazing job getting the word out and making this movie possible, instantly, whenever there's anything that happens, they instantly turn that this is sabotage from Warner Brothers trying to sabotage Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I just don't see it. Like, these mistakes happen. It happened on Netflix. There was an entire season of House of Cards that went up early. There was, you know, it has happened. People put things in and they put the wrong numbers or dates in as they're quickly coding things in a digital system. Mistakes happen. If anything, you know, the leak, from what I saw, the people that did catch it online were saying how great it was. If anything, it created more buzz for Zack Snyder's Justice League. I do not think that HBO Max or Warner Brothers, who spent all the money filming the original Justice League and then pumped another $70 million into this one, want to see it fail. They're using this to get subscribers to HBO Max. That's why this is happening. As much as, you know, it's great that it's happening and it's awesome for the fandom, when you really step back, it's because they think it's going to drive subscribers to HBO Max. And if it does, and if it does well, I would not be amazed if they want to continue the Snyderverse. Potentially, maybe only on HBO Max. It might never go back to theaters. Who knows? But I don't see these types of things as some sort of massive conspiratorial sabotage. Some of the Snyder Cut stuff online, when it gets into the sabotage and what's happening behind the scenes, these, like, the machinations and the plans that would have to go in to orchestrating everything at every turn to try to sabotage this movie that at the same time they have invested money and resources in is mind-numbing. It really, really is. So, you know, I think some members of that fandom just need to take a step back and be excited for March 18th. And just, I'm stoked. Like, I cannot wait for March 18th to watch this movie. 4 hours of awesomeness. And, you know, before any of this people say I'm not a fan of Zack Snyder's work, listen, I'm one of the people that will defend Sucker Punch. I love Sucker Punch. I think it's a smart movie that did not get the recognition it deserved, partly because it was so visually striking. You know, sometimes when things are too pretty, people just look at the pretty and don't look at the subtext of the pretty. And, you know, so the guy's, in my opinion, a really great filmmaker. And I'm really looking forward to Zack Snyder's Justice League. We just need to calm ourselves a little bit. That's all. Switching over to just a little bit of Star Wars news, and kind of surprising Star Wars news, to be honest. The Mandalorian had a novelization coming out, as well as an ultimate visual guidebook. And those have both been canceled, which to me is shocking. Because pretty much everything Mandalorian is just a license to print money right now. So I'm amazed that two projects like this, especially the visual guidebook, you got to figure that would have been a lot of pictures of Baby Yoda. Grogu, I know. But still, people would have bought that in droves. So I'm kind of amazed that those two books have been canceled. It's really the only Star Wars news this week. And over at Marvel, just one little tidbit of news. They have confirmed that Black Widow is still on track for a May 7th release. They were sticking to their guns on this one and getting it out in theaters. And it looks like that philosophy is actually going to pay off for them. Because it looks like a lot of theaters are starting to reopen across the United States and Canada. And so it looks like May 7th, Black Widow will finally hit theaters. And last little bit, we'll talk about WandaVision wrapped up its season. I don't want to say first season because it sounds like there are not plans right now for a second season. So it wrapped up its run. And overall, I was kind of meh about the show. I felt like I went into WandaVision with a lot of promise and a lot of expectations. You know, it's going to lead right into Doctor Strange 2, and it's you know, it's going to have this. And then, you know, even the stars of the show were going, oh, we've got a Luke Skywalker level cameo and surprise in this show, which right away I balked at because there is no Luke Skywalker level cameo in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But still, I was expecting something big. And overall, I got an okay show that had some really cool moments, but then also had some really head-scratching moments. And then at the end of it, kind of felt like I was at the exact same spot that I was at the beginning. Yeah, she's a bit more powerful. Yeah, she got her name, but that's about it. That's what it took them 8 episodes to get me to, was that she's got a little bit more power, and now they call her Scarlet Witch. Oh, okay. I kind of wanted more. I wanted more out of this show. And also, it did something else that Marvel has done a lot that drives me nuts. And that's their heroes doing bad things or their heroes fighting each other. Kind of drives me crazy. And when you get to the end of WandaVision, you know, spoilers, if you haven't watched it yet, I'll give you a little spoiler countdown here. 3, 2, 1. All right, spoilers are going to start. But spoilers, you get to the end of the show and you find out she was really trapping all those people and mind controlling all those regular citizens of that small town. She had held an entire town hostage for however long, you know, the saga played out, and she just goes away. She goes away to a cabin by herself to learn to become more powerful because she's got, you know, her book and is learning that she got from Agnes. So it's like you're sitting there and you're going, all right, am I supposed to be happy for her right now? Or am I supposed to feel sad or happy that she's getting more powerful? She just held a town hostage. You know, in my mind, it's like, that's not really the hero ending. And, you know, so I just don't know where they go. I know she's going to be in Doctor Strange 2, so that's kind of where her character's journey continues. But I don't feel like this movie led me to Doctor Strange 2 and the Multiverse of Madness. Didn't feel like that at all. So I'll be curious to see what they do with her in the Doctor Strange sequel. But if they don't address the fact that she held the town hostage and that she probably shouldn't be trusted, it's a huge misstep in that film, as far as I'm concerned. Falcon and Winter Soldier's not that far off, though. I'm really looking forward to that one. Hopefully, it can redeem itself. Because I would give WandaVision, if I was grading it at a 10, moments were like a 7, but overall, I would give it like a 5. I want to say 6, but honestly, probably a 5 out of 10. That will do it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, you can reach me on social media, The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Mars on Twitter. And of course, you can get all your Scotty fixins over on our website. You can also send me an email there. That is scottymarsmedia.com. And until we chat again, have a great week.